Welcome to Voices in Value-Based Care. I'm Matt Fusen, and thanks for tuning in. The movement of value-based care is revolutionizing how healthcare providers get reimbursed for delivery of care. On this program, we explore stories from the field about how real organizations are dealing with this change. You can follow the show on Twitter at #VoicesInVBC and follow SPH on Twitter at SPH Analytics. On the program today, I am talking with Dr. David Hanekom, President of North American Region and Chief Medical Officer of Solve Care. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. I'm pleased to be with you.
We are super interested in hearing about your work in value-based care and especially, obviously, blockchain. So can't wait to dig into that topic. But before we do, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of your journey to where you got to and now being a part of the blockchain world?
Yes, certainly, Matt. You know, I'm a family physician, internal medicine by training. My passion has always been to improve patient care and make sure that those that provide care are content in delivering that care, because the well-being of the provider directly affects patient care. I've had the privilege of working as a primary care physician in multiple countries, including South Africa, the UK, Canada, and the USA. And as I practiced medicine in these various environments, it came to my attention that it was becoming more and more difficult to provide high quality clinical care within the complexity of the administration and the technology environments which I had to live in. And I made a decision in the early 2000s that there needs to be some transformation of the healthcare delivery system and how the system is paid for, the financial, the administrative, and the technology environment, so that some of the joy of practicing medicine could come back. So I made a decision, rather than complain about it, let's learn and walk in the shoes of the other stakeholders, predominantly the payers, the technologists, et cetera, and get an understanding of their world, and then see how I could collaboratively kind of engage people in changing the system with which we live, with the purpose of really driving better care at a lower cost, and making sure that those that deliver care and receive care get the best care that they can. So that's my journey. The last few years, I've been working on the technology side, previously for SPH Analytics, where I was part of that journey. In the last few years, I have been fortunate to lead a group of physicians and healthcare delivery systems in the Phoenix area to actually put in practice what I've been trying to achieve, which is the quadruple aim, which is essentially better care, lower cost, and more satisfied providers and patients.
That's excellent. Thank you. It's nice to have a perspective that I don't think we've had before, at least since I've been hosting, with, you know, the international flavor of your work in delivering care, you know, internationally, instead of just here in the broader perspective you get on how others are doing it, as well as, and we've heard this more and more, and I think it really is the way we're going to have to proceed in the future, which is working with other stakeholders, especially payers, right? That has just been kind of the lightning rod over many, many years. It's us versus them. And I think we're all collectively getting to the point where that's clearly never going to lead us to where we want to be, right? And we're going to have to work together. So interesting to hear that as well. We're hearing that more and more as a trend. Let's talk about blockchain and its impact on healthcare. And I, as a novice, on this technology, even though I've been reading about it for years, it's still very difficult to really get it, right? So for our listeners, and of course for me, can you explain blockchain in a way a non-technical person can understand it?
Yeah, that is a tough question. I'll try and do my best, because as you say, it is a very complex and a very evolving marketplace. But essentially, a blockchain is the ability to take a ledger or a record and share that privately with a large number of stakeholders, where you record information and events. It is then encrypted, and that information becomes available to the entire community that has access to the blockchain. What that would mean then is that everybody has a copy of the ledger, which means everybody knows what event occurred and who created the event, under what circumstances, and what were the outcomes of that event. And by sharing that through a blockchain, people can then get the necessary information and commit transactions to the blockchain that is auditable and unchangeable in the future. the purpose of the blockchain is to create trust. If, for example, only your bank had your statement and you had no way of getting a copy of a bank statement, for example, and checking the accuracy of that bank statement and having a copy for yourself in case something goes wrong, there would be very little trust between the bank and the customer. So in healthcare, what we deal with to a large degree is not a lack of interoperability, in other words, the ability to share information across large numbers of people through technology. That's been around for a long time, but there's a lack of trust in the information that's being shared and who holds it, who can modify it, how do I know it hasn't been changed, et cetera, et cetera. So a blockchain gives the individual that has access to the information in this ledger the ability to be in the know and to make sure that if any changes occur to the information, that you're aware of it. It also means from a security perspective, if you have a central database and somebody can hack that or get unauthorized access to that, they can go in and make changes to the information, which impacts every decision that's made after that information was changed. And you wouldn't know unless somebody detects the intrusion. And so you hear a lot about hacking of information, et cetera, and whose information in it, who has custody, and how do I know it's true and accurate? And because of that, there's a reluctance to openly share information. With a blockchain to achieve exactly the same effect, you would have to go in and modify every single record that's copied and reproduced on the blockchain for a million plus people, for example. And that's an impossibility. So it's a very accurate, very timely, and very secure way of sharing information across a large ecosystem.
Very interesting. Thank you. That's very helpful for me. A follow-up question is, and I just got this question the other day and I can't answer it, where is it? Where's the blockchain? Where's the information? Is it in the cloud somewhere? Or everybody kind of then gets a little confused about, okay, I get that. Now, where is all this info?
So data are generally stored on physical boxes, computers, and memory banks where they can be accessed usually through the internet or some network. So blockchain is no different with that. The difference is when a piece of information is inscribed into a block and then distributed through the entire chain, i.e. everybody that has access to that, be that on their computer, be that on their personal device, their mobile phone, the cloud, etc. It duplicates and replicates itself and then is accessed by whoever wants to use the information if they have the correct encryption key and that they have the digital wallet to access the information. A good example of that would be, for example, when you travel across the world and you take your ATM card, you put it into a machine, and within seconds, that machine recognizes who you are. It knows that you're a customer of a specific bank, and there is a rule set that allows that machine then to forward to you a certain amount of currency based on rules that are set. That's an example of a blockchain. And the blockchain sits decentralized on a server and then is then shared across all the banks on the blockchain in the world. If the traditional point-to-point interaction had to occur, which means the machine had to take your card, talk to your bank's computer in the US, hopefully it's up and it's not being serviced or anything, and then go to your ledger, find the information, and then talk back to you before it releases a $20 note, that would not be scalable. It would not be fast enough, et cetera, et cetera. So that's an example of blockchain. So it is, whether it's in the cloud or on somebody's machine or in a device or in a digital wallet that you can unplug from the internet, it's in a safe electronic container that's encrypted. And the only person that has access to that information is the person that holds the key to that lock.
And the key to the lock, the vision here would be the key to the lock is held by the person whose data it is, right?
Absolutely. I think just like we hold the information that is critical to our success as human beings in terms of banking information, contact information, what the blockchain will do in the case of our solution is there's a care wallet. Think of that as a digital container that only you have access to. A good example of that is the wallet in the iPhone. To get to that wallet and get access to the content, you have to first go through the security and encryption features of your iPhone, which, as you know, is world class. And then you can access that wallet. And then within that wallet are cards or capabilities that allow you to do transactions. So the plan would be that the patient keeps in their personal wallet on their device, for example, all their health data, which with intelligent analytics and various other business rules empowers the patient to choose, who do I share my information with? What information do I share? Under what circumstances? And I control my information. I think that the patient is more likely to take good care of that information and make sure it's available when they need healthcare services. So it's timely and available with me as I travel and things happen to me, as opposed to an ecosystem where there's a lot of complexities in calling for that information, finding it, hoping there's permission, hoping the power is on, and everything else. And so the patient and their wallet, which sits on a blockchain, which is secure and managed and duplicated, becomes the custodian of their own information and releases the information. And I think that's truly empowering patients. So that's the advantage that blockchain can bring to the standard large databases controlled by somebody who may or may not want to share the right information.
And those are two great examples that, you know, everybody's got the ATM card and can really visualize that. And even if you don't use the wallet on the iPhone, the concept of, oh yeah, this is secure, it's my data and I can get to it anytime I want, as opposed to our current world, which is, I don't know where to go get a medical record. If somebody asked me right now, right, I call my PCP and that's where I start. And they only got what they got. And then you just keep going. I mean, so that I think is a great example of the potential power here, right? And I think that kind of covered a question, how do you envision this blockchain impacting healthcare? But you might have more to add there. And really importantly, what everybody's want, at what pace, right? Is this a 30 years from now pace? Is it 2 years? Love to get your thoughts on that.
I think those are very insightful questions, and I'll try and answer them to the best of my ability. Firstly, we have an incredibly complex healthcare system in the United States and elsewhere in the world. The degree of complexity in terms of the administration, the payment system, the permission system, the release of information, and just what's necessary to run the system so that patients can get services and get those services paid for by their payer is mind-boggling. There is no more complex system in my experience than in the US. It's very expensive to run. It's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. And it's built on technology that was designed many decades ago for a very specific person. There is now, and purpose, there is now a need to do things faster, more seamlessly, much more personal, and much more virtually digital as healthcare delivery and the demands of the customer changes. So I think that in healthcare, we're behind other industries. The banking industry, for example, realized a very long time ago that their brick and mortar stores with safes and people standing behind a counter and demanding that the customer come to them to get banking services and to get cash, quickly realized that if they don't change their channel of communication and how they do things, they wouldn't be in business. I think that's an example of the type of transformational services that can happen and how quickly it can happen. I think in healthcare, mm-hmm. there's a great need for that. The days of a patient arriving for healthcare services at an emergency room or a physician's office or while they're traveling and not having critical information with them, which means decisions are made by the patient, family, and the caregivers that could harm the patient because of that lack of information, is really material. I think patients mm-hmm. are demanding greater insight into what care they should get, where they can get it, and where they can expect the best outcomes and the cost of it. So I think patients are demanding faster services, more personalized services. We're seeing that through telemedicine and various care models that support that. And so I think the pace is going to pick up significantly. I would say what we need to do for adoption by the mass public is demonstrate that the digital wallet and the blockchain is personal, secure, and can make their lives easier in terms of managing this complex ecosystem. And so as we do that, you will see rapid adoption, in my opinion, of this type of solution. And whether the health delivery side or the payer side or the technology side resists this, the technology because of lack of experience, I think customers will drive adoption of it. And I think that's within the next 5 years. So it's not a 5 to 10 or 15 year journey. I think things are changing so rapidly that there's a need to rapidly meet the needs of patients. And it's all over the world. It's not just in the US.
Right. And that's kind of, as you were talking, my thought was, this sounds like something that's going to be more, as we, this term's been around healthcare for a long time, consumerism, right? But as patients are more consumers, this is going to be driven by consumers and will become a competitive advantage for healthcare organizations that are offering this. And once we get to that point, that's the tipping point, right? Because then the money is going to start moving, the patients are going to start moving, and now you need to compete. Makes total sense. And if I was in the boat of picking an organization now and one had this type of technology, ultimately the technology I don't care about as a consumer, this type of customer interaction really, right? I'd pick that one over my current state. So it should become a competitive advantage at some point, and that'll make it really interesting and probably, not probably, definitely accelerate adoption.
Agree with you. Excuse me. If you look at the marketplace in other industries, the person or the company or organization that meets the needs of the customer and creates the greatest value has a competitive advantage and they have survived. You'll see the same thing in healthcare. I think the patient or the consumer is going to be much more demanding in terms of what they demand in terms of access, timeliness, simplicity, and outcomes, and that will drive the market. If I can give an example of a practice in healthcare, which I don't understand why we still do business this way. It's the only industry that I'm aware of where you go into a physician's office, you show an identity card, they check the identity card, you deliver services in good faith, you do all the administration required to get the bill to the payer, and then at some time in the future, the payer may or may not pay you. I don't know of any other industry that works this way. With blockchain technology and the ability to distribute vast amounts of information in a very secure way and keep it up to date through updating the blockchain, I see no reason why we can't verify identity and payment and do real-time payment and all those things before the patient even leaves the office. Very similar to any other building. Industry. And so there are opportunities to make things easier that remove some of the friction points for the providers who want to be paid for their services. If you're an independent physician in your own practice and you want to make sure that you're paid the best you can for your services, you really are forced to call the insurance company every patient to make sure they're still a member, that their insurance is covered, and that they cover a specific service. You then deliver the service, and you're still not guaranteed payment because there may be some benefit exclusion or something that happened in the future. And there isn't an option if you're an independent physician to go and to your customer and sue them for the money because you don't have a customer in the future. And so we don't need to do things that way. We've kind of accepted it, but it made sense 40 years ago. It makes no sense. And so blockchain has the ability to change some of these processes. And I think it's going to make it just better to get healthcare.
That's interesting, and didn't even think about or understand the full chain tied with blockchain, but really the ramifications for all the administrative side, right? And all those friction points. That's a great point. If you can make all that seamless and low or no friction, it not only changes, you know, what the patient experiences, but fundamentally changes the cost structure of running the healthcare organization. So clear that this has the potential to be revolutionary in healthcare. One of the questions that I've also gotten as I've had this discussion with other people is, okay, well, why is this different than the other things that we're going to save the world? HL7 and, you know, FHI are still on the early side, but it's been out there for a long time now. And I think some of the things we talked about address that, but I'd love your perspective specific to that. Why is this different than what we've heard about in the past?
I think inherent and foundational to distributed ledger technology is the ability to create trust by making transactions and information transparent, auditable, and secure. Which means if people can trust the information they have, and if they know that everybody else has the same information that has access to the information, then they can focus on relationship building. They can focus on differentiating themselves across the marketplace through outcomes and services, as opposed to information as a weapon. So what I would like to see in the future, and I think where blockchain gives us that opportunity, is to empower patients to control their information, share that information with stakeholders that bring value to them, and reap the economic benefit of doing so. I think what that frees the delivery system up is, rather than worrying about expensive technology and upgrading and making sure that they communicate, is they can focus on what the patient needs and the reason that they exist, which is to deliver services and care and products to that marketplace, and absolutely must, as part of the use case, reduce administrative costs. Every dollar that's spent on administering something that is causing pain points across the system and accepting that as status quo is one less dollar that can be spent on improved services, better care, better products, or alternatively on preventing disease and various healthcare crises from occurring. And so it's that focus on that administrative simplification, which is actually a very big part of what's not been tackled today. You know, we focus on better care, we focused on lowering medical costs, but somehow we still think that it's acceptable to have $15 to $20 on the $100 go towards administering and supporting infrastructures that really creates challenges more than anything else.
Right. So we've talked about a lot of this. I want to kind of get your thoughts on it in context to, I know, as you referenced earlier, you're working with an organization in the Phoenix area, you know, implementing all these things we're talking about, and that would hit, you know, a number of these. So we've talked about the benefits for patients and providers in the healthcare space in general. How are you seeing this, you know, actually come to fruition and realization with the organization you're seeing in Phoenix?
Yeah, that's a very insightful understanding and question. Firstly, I think the top priority there was cultural alignment. And the cultural alignment between the provider organization, its payers, and the various other stakeholders really centered on the best interest of the patient. We had to agree that the best interest of the patient is our foremost consideration. Everything must match back to making sure the customer's needs are met in a timely, affordable, and a predictable manner. We had to agree on redefining our relationships and our roles towards that goal. Also, we had to agree that we were collaboratively going to reduce the cost associated and the administrative pain points associated with the current system. If we can get that cultural alignment, then I think that sets the table for meaningful discussions to put everybody around the table and say, very well, here is how I do things. Here is how you do things. These are the tools we have collectively at our in our toolbox. And how do we deploy what we have to the best interest of the patient while making sure that everybody can grow their business, achieve the outcomes they want, and have a profit margin? Because there has to be financial sustainability. And I think when you have that kind of cultural alignment, then there is less protecting the current infrastructure and current methodologies, because you're actively and collaboratively searching for a win-win for everybody. And I think that's what's necessary in value-based care. It cannot be a competitive, antagonistic relationship with the payer and the provider and the various other stakeholders. If we focus on the best interest of the patient with the understanding that we all want to grow our businesses, we want to be meaningful, we want to provide value, and we want to be relevant in that journey, then I think it allows you to do different things. And that's really a requirement for any new innovation or a transformation in healthcare delivery.
Right. So this is all this kind of a big, bold, broad question here. But what's your prediction for the future? Healthcare in general in the United States, we're going to see the adoption, we're going to get the interoperability, we're going to have much better space here in a couple of years. Just wide open question.
I remain an optimist. I think that one of the beauties of living in the United States and being part of the journey towards healthcare transformation is we're all trying to do what's in the best interest of society in general. We just need to find a way to make this financially sustainable. In other words, we want to be able to provide the maximum care at the best price and cost for the total medical care, to make sure we have healthy communities that can be free and can live the dreams, because that is the American dream. We will get to the right answer. It's not going to take overnight. It's been a long journey. It will continue to be a long journey, but every change we make does add something. What's more difficult to achieve is letting go of, certainly in the technology world, letting go of the investments that you've already made. So I think you will see some degree of competition between blockchain and the legacy systems. I think they're both necessary and they can complement each other. We need to make sure that as we adapt and adopt blockchain to solve some of the business and clinical problems associated with healthcare living in the US, that we don't just add unnecessary cost and complexity to the system. So I think focusing on the quadruple aim, which is better care, lower cost, more satisfied provider than patient, by definition means we have to do things differently, not just in the delivery of care, but in the administration of care. And if we can do that in a financially sustainable manner, then we can continue to have the choice that we enjoy in the United States and the ability for individuals with exceptional talents and organizations to differentiate themselves in the marketplace and meet their growth and profitability margins, which is a inherent foundation of the capitalist system in the US. So I'm optimistic. It always takes a bit longer and it's more complex than one thinks, but when you put the people that have the same vision and who are committed to this journey, of which there are millions in the US, we will achieve a system that meets our needs as a country. And whether other countries adopt that or adapt it, or in fact build something different that we can adopt, is part of my mission as the Chief Medical Officer, to essentially learn from other countries and potentially bring that here and vice versa, because it is a uniform need to provide better care at a lower cost across the world. It's not just in the United States.
Completely agree, and it is nice to have the world perspective, especially as the population keeps growing and the needs are not going to subside anytime soon, and the world continues to get smaller and smaller every day. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, David, for joining us today. It's been great for our audience and for myself, of course. You can learn more about the show on the programs page on healthcarenowradio.com. And lend your voice to the conversation on Twitter at hashtag VoicesInVBC, and be sure to follow SPH on Twitter at SPH Analytics. I'm Matt Fusen, bringing you the Voices in Value-Based Care you should be hearing. Until next time, have a great week. Again, thank you, David, and have a great holiday.